Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters, and I really do mean precious brothers and sisters, and welcome to today's broadcast of Watchmen on the Wall. Today we want to consider once again Isaiah chapter 62, so I'm going to encourage you to go to your outlines. Your outline is dated Saturday, November 21st, 2015. If your outline has that date, then you have the right outline, and your outline should be titled Unceasing Prayer, the Only Thing That Can Drastically Change the Church's Present Morbidity. Unceasing Prayer, the Only Thing That Can Change, that can drastically change the Church's Present Morbidity. Again, our text is Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1, and let me read that to you. The prophet Isaiah says, "For Zion's sake shall I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we come to you once again. We are your people. We are your remnant church. We are serious folk, serious about the saving of souls, lost souls. We're serious about the church. We're serious about your holiness. We're serious about living holy. We're serious about maintaining the standards that you gave us in Scripture. We're serious about crying out against sin and transgression and iniquity and foolishness. We're serious about safeguarding the church from heretical teachers, from false prophets, from pseudo teachers who come teaching falsehoods to lead astray your people. We're serious about standing on guard at our post on the wall. Bless us this day as we consider your word, as we look for a word from you, Lord, that will inspire us to do our job, to fulfill our role in these last and wicked days of human history. This we ask, this we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You know, considering where the church is today, and if we were to truly assess the church, let me just read to you from the book of Revelation, and I want to read to you from chapter 3. And in Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, This is what Jesus says unto the church of the Laodiceans. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus says to the church in verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, since you are neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, goods, and have need of nothing. But don't you know that you are wretched, that you're miserable, that you're poor, that you are blind, and that you are naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you mayest be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness will not appear, that you would anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And I would say that the Laodicean church is the church of today. It's today's church. It's the so-called prosperity gospel church that all it does is it testifies that it is prosperous. But when Jesus looks at us, really, we are blind, we're naked, we're poor, we're wretched, we've lost our way. And this is why we need watchmen. We need watchmen who can look at the scriptures and take the scriptures and match them to the present condition of the church today and say, this is prophecy being fulfilled. We are the Laodicean church. We have lost our way. We claim to be rich, but we're really poor. We claim to be healthy, but we're really blind. We claim that we strut around in designer clothes. But Jesus says we're naked. Jesus says we're foolish. Jesus says, again, we've departed from the Lord. And so we need men and women today called watchmen. What is a watchman? A watchman is a person who prays and prophesies. You don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. You don't have to be a so-called prophet to warn people, to point people to the scriptures, to tell them that they're going the wrong way, to tell them, look at what this Bible verse says, and then look at your life. And not just to say it to people, but can we say it to the pastors? Can we say it to the local church leadership? Are we bold enough to say it to the whole congregation that you have lost your way? We have lost our way. Can we say like the prophet Isaiah, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and woe is us, for I am among a people of unclean lips. Not only is the clergy unclean, but also the congregation is unclean. We need watchmen. Not just watchmen who can prophesy, not just watchmen who can rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, but more importantly, we need watchmen who will pray without ceasing. So quickly, let's look at our introduction, and let's see what our introduction tells us or points out or highlights. First and foremost, our introduction reminds us that Isaiah the seer, a seer is a roe in Hebrew, R-O-E-H, a roe. A roe is a person who sees visions. That's what a roe is. He's the kind of prophet who sees vision, and a roe in English is called a seer, an S-E-E-R. So the prophet Isaiah is not only a roe, a seer, but he's also a nabhai, an N-A-B-H-I, N-A-B-H-I. That's the kind of prophet who says, thus saith the Lord. So one kind of prophet sees things with his eyes or her eyes. The other kind of prophet speaks with the mouth. That's the nabhai. So one is a roe, the one who sees vision is a roe, and the one who speaks by using the mouth to say, thus saith the Lord, that's a nabhai. And so this man, Isaiah, is those two. He's a Nabhai and he's a Roe. So Isaiah the seer prophesies. But he just not only prophesies, but he also prays. And not only does he pray, but then he awaits to see Zion and Jerusalem's spiritual transformation. And Zion and Jerusalem are one and the same. It's the same terminology for the church. And in Isaiah's day, the church was jacked up, pretty much like today. Pretty much like today. The church of Isaiah's day was really messed up. The church of Isaiah's day is like our church today. It's been hijacked. And whenever something's been hijacked, it's hijacked so that it can go the wrong way. That's why hijackers hijack things, to take something in the opposite or in the wrong direction. Church today has been hijacked pretty much like the church in Isaiah's day. And Isaiah the seer, he prophesies, but not only does he preach, but to his preaching he adds prayer. To his prayer he adds waiting. And to his waiting, he waits to see if the church will, as God said she will, be spiritually transformed. And we can bank on the fact that the church will be transformed because God prophesied it. But just because God prophesied it doesn't mean it's going to magically happen. This is why God is God, and he has prophets. He has watchmen. He has people like you and me, because the watchman is part of God's team. You see, God prophesies a glorious future for the church, but then we need the watchmen who are going to say, thus saith the Lord, and we need the watchmen who are going to bend the knees, and we're going to need the watchmen to ensure that this spiritual transformation is taking place. So God will prophesy goodness, but then he needs workers who are going to make it happen, who are going to bring about the correction, and who are going to bring about the revival. They're going to bring about the correction by means of prophesying, and they're going to bring about the revival by the means of prayer. And this is what we need today in the church. We just need watchmen. We don't need people with any more titles. We just need watch. We need simple men and women who can watch and pray, Jesus said. Now, point number one in your outline, I want to remind you that Isaiah is God's sent prophet. And as God's sent prophet, he is a fiery prophet. He's fiery. Now, not only is our scripture text for this Isaiah 62 verse 1, but also you can write here Isaiah chapter 6. Remember that when God first encountered Isaiah, Isaiah was backslidden in ministry. Remember we saw in Isaiah chapter 6 how Isaiah got a glimpse of God after King Uzziah died. And when Isaiah truly got a glimpse of God and God had visited his temple, Isaiah said, woe is me. And then Isaiah said, woe is the people. And then the Bible says that one of the seraphims came with one of the thongs from the altar with a live coal and touched Isaiah's lips. And from that day on, Isaiah's lips were fiery, thus that made him a fiery prophet. And also remember that once the seraphim touched his lips, then God posed the question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, send me, send me, send me. So this prophet who's writing this 62nd chapter of Isaiah is a prophet who was God sent, and also is a prophet who has been touched by God. Now, one of the reasons why the church today is so backslidden, is because we have prophets who have not been touched by God, and we have prophets who have not been sent by God. See, this is critical. We need to understand that if we're going to have a turnaround, if we're going to have a shift of a great magnitude in the church, we need people who have been sent by God and who've been touched by God. Isaiah, according to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, Isaiah was not only touched by God, but then he was sent by God. And we need the same thing in the church. Enough with preachers. Enough. Away. away with preachers who you know God didn't send them, and away with preachers who you know God didn't touch them. God didn't touch, because if he had touched them, they would not be preaching the foolishness that they're preaching. They would not be preaching the silliness. They would not be after filthy lucre if God has sent them. When God changes a man, when God changes a woman, they're changed for good. There's some things God pulls out of their hearts, and he gives them a new heart. So we need representatives in the church today that we know for sure God has touched them, and God has sent them. And this is why Isaiah is such an impactful prophet, because he was touched of God and then sent by God. Now, if you turn with me to Isaiah 58, the Lord says to Isaiah, cry aloud, cry aloud, and spare not. Look what God says to his prophet. And this is why, again, if you look at your introduction, Isaiah the seer prophesies. You see, Isaiah the seer, he prophesies. And what is to prophesy? To prophesy is to cry aloud and spare not. See, what God is saying, what God is saying to Isaiah is to cry aloud. Again, the word cry, it comes from the Hebrew. It's a very interesting Hebrew word, and this word simply means to raise up the voice, to make such a sound as to bring attention, to make it's kara in the Hebrew, Q-A-R-A. When you cry, the Bible says, God says, cry to me in the day of trouble, or my cry went before the Lord. You see, a cry is a cry of desperation. And the God says to the prophet Isaiah, start crying, start making this cry of desperation. We're living in the last day, folks. We need people who know that we're in a desperate hour. This is a desperate hour. This is not an hour for anybody to be playing church. This is a desperate, desperate hour. It's no time to be cracking jokes. It's no time to be entertaining. It's time to cry aloud. And it's interesting because the word aloud, A-L-O-U-D, in the Hebrew, the root meaning of this word means neck or throat or voice box, neck, throat, voice box. So there are times when we use our voice box to confess our sins. There are other times when God's people use their voice box to praise. But in this context, God is saying, get into desperate preaching. You see, it's not desperate praise. It's not desperate confession. No. He's saying, cry aloud. He's telling the prophet, now you have to do desperate preaching. Because if the people don't turn around at this point, they're going to be destroyed. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, without a vision, the people perish. Now, again, that word vision there is not a project. That word vision has to do with strong preaching. Without strong preaching, without a timely word that brings correction to the people, same correction, the people will perish. So the Lord says to Isaiah, when you preach now, put your preaching in desperation mode. And then the Lord goes on to say, cry aloud and do what? And spare not. Don't hold anything back. This is not a time to be holding anything back. Let the people have it. We need preachers. We need preachers who are gonna preach like if it was their last sermon. Like if the people's salvation depended on this last sermon. And don't hold back anything. Don't hold back any of the whole counsel of God. Paul said to the leaders at the church of Ephesus, remember that for 3 years I preached day and night with tears, and I did not withhold from you the counsel of God. I gave it to you in its entirety. So we need preachers who are going to preach desperate. Desperate. Because we're in a late hour of history. The church has got to turn around or it's doomed. And when you preach desperate, you don't hold anything back. You're bringing about a homiletical intervention. You know about interventions. When family members get together and they sit down with one person who's really, 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 really going down the wrong way. Well, it's time for pulpit intervention. This is a desperate hour. So we need preachers like Isaiah, because the Lord said to Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like what? Like a trumpet. And do what? And reveal to my people, show my people their transgression. And here the word transgression is rebellion. Show my people their rebellion and show the house of Jacob what? Their sins. And the word sin here means an evil committed against another person. So God is basically saying you have to point out two things. You have to show where the people have rebelled. And perhaps this group rebelled this way, and that group rebelled that way, and that other group rebelled that way. And that's why the word rebellion is in the plural, because there's a number of rebellions taking place. The angels that left with Satan formed one rebellion. Then Adam and Eve in the garden formed another rebellion. You committed your rebellion. I committed my rebellion. Whatever the rebellion, you see, this is why the Lord says here, he says, show my people. Give them the report. Give them the findings. Don't hold anything back. Show them. Reveal to them their transgression / rebellion / where they have gone wrong. And then he goes on to say, and show the house of Jacob, which is the people of God, show them their sins. Show them what evils they've committed against one another and against me. So we need fiery prophets. We need prophets who've been sent by God. We need prophets who have been touched by God. But then we need prophets who are going to let us have it and spare nothing. That's what we need. But then we need for these prophets to be what else? To be tireless intercessors. Because my brothers and sisters, the only thing that's going to give the Church of Christ life again is prayer. What did Jesus do? Do you remember what Jesus did when he went to Jairus' house? Remember when Jairus' daughter had died? Remember? What did Jesus do? Didn't Jesus pray? He prayed. And what happened to Jairus' daughter? She was what? Resurrected. What did Jesus do outside the tomb of Lazarus? Didn't Jesus pray? Didn't Jesus pray outside the tomb of Lazarus? Yes, he did. And what happened? Lazarus came forth alive. Saints, the church is dying. The church is suffering morbidity. The church is about to be history. But the only thing in this hour that can save the church is watchmen. Watchmen that will do two things. They will be non-sparing in their preaching. They will be non-sparing in their warning. There will be not, listen, they're not going to hold, watchmen that we need in this hour are watchmen that are not going to hold anything back. Don't be politically correct. If you're politically correct, you are of no use to God. You are of no use to God. If you're trying to be nicey-nicey, you're no use to God. The Lord said, cry aloud and spare not. St. Paul put it this way. He said this to Timothy. He said, do what? He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Even when they don't want to hear it, let them have it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers because they have itchy ears. If you love the church, if you love your brothers and sisters, you're going to tell them like it is. You're not going to hold back. Now, that may mean that they may shun you. That may mean you may not get invited to any more dinner parties. That may mean that you may lose your friends. That may mean that you may no longer get invitations to certain events. That may mean that your popularity is going to go out the window. But who really cares? Who really cares? If you love people, you'll tell them the truth. And that's what God is banking on, that he will have fiery prophets. Prophets who have had an encounter with God, and that encounter has radically changed their lives forever. Also, prophets who have been sent, duly commissioned, duly deputized, and then finally, prophets who will hold nothing back. And you may say to me, Radio Shepherd, I'm not a prophet. And I say to you, every believer is a prophet. Every believer is to be his brother's keeper. But Radio Shepherd, I'm not a prophet like the prophets on TBN. Those aren't prophets. Those are profiteers. Those are con men. Those are con women. They're only going to prophesy false visions and false dreams. These prophets on TBN and the Word Network and God TV and all these other, all they're there to do is to make money, to make merchandise of you. They're not the prophets whom God has touched. They're not the prophets God has sent. They're not the prophets who care about your soul. These are self-centered, money-grubbing prophets. And we need prophets. We need watchmen. We need men and women who are going to be tireless. Isaiah says, and he says this to himself, he says this in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1, and that's point number 2 in your outline. Isaiah is the people's tireless intercessor. He is the people's tireless intercessor. You see, point 1 means that he belongs to God. He's God's prophet. But point 2 means he's the people's intercessor. And saints, you know what the people need today? Someone who'll pray for them. I have emails sent to us here at Love Remnant Tabernacle Church, emails. And all we do is pray for the emails. All we do is pray for the needs. All we do is pray. All we do is pray for those who need prayer. We need tireless men and women who are going to devote their time interceding, standing in the gap, praying for others, that these people whom they're praying for may experience the goodness of God and the transformation of God. Will you join me, saints? Will you join me in the weeks to come, in the months to come, in the years to come? Will you join me in sounding the trumpet, in being a watchman on the wall, and being an intercessor in the gap? Well, saints, that'll do it for today. Tune in next Saturday, and I'll have another word for you from the book of Isaiah, chapter 62. God bless you. I love you in the Lord. I'll be praying for you.